Call meeting's order.
Is there any left?
Yeah.
McNamara moved the March 10th minutes.
I will, yes.
Discussion on the minutes, and there being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Okay, we're here today, members, to hear House File 4164, Representative Bigum. We'll move the bill, bring the bill before us, Representative Eakin. Your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and I do have a delete all amendment for the House file.
Okay. Representative Bingham moved the DE2 amendment. That's the 4164 DE2 amendment. Any discussion? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye. Mm-hmm.
Opposed? To the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And the delete all amendment did take out a provision that I had some concerns about. But this deals with the bovine TB issue in northern Minnesota. And what it does is it does restrict deer feeding in the accredited, modified accredited bovine TB zone, and it does have a few exemptions, including deer or bird feeders that are placed at least 6 feet above the ground. It also has exemptions for livestock, storing of feed for livestock, if it's stored consistently with normal agricultural practices. But as everyone knows, this is a huge issue, very serious issue for Minnesota, not just for the area that's directly affected, but for the whole state, because this could spread and get out of control. And so it's imperative that we address this issue quickly. It's the reason that I brought this bill forward. The Assistant Commissioner Bob Meyer had brought me the language and had also expressed the importance of moving quickly on this issue. And as you all know, we're going to be hearing legislation that Representative Olin is carrying today on the House floor that also deals with this issue. Representative Olin is also here. With that, I guess I'll, again, this just deals with feeding restrictions. So with that, I'll stand for questions.
And Representative Egan, in the original bill, where was the, which section was the section that was controversial?
It was the...
No, I don't think so. That's in the middle of nowhere.
It's on the first page, line 1.17. So 1.19.
The entry on the private land issue.
Right, right. The 1.17 to 1.19.
And Ms. Taylor has informed us that there's a small drafting error on the DE2 amendment. Ms. Taylor, I'd like to explain that.
And page 2 of the DE2 amendment, lines 2.11 and 2.12 need to be moved to after line 2.8. It's just a drafting error. Those two clauses should be up there.
Representative Bingham, would you like to make...
Yeah, I can move that amendment.
Any further discussion on this technical correction? Being none in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Amendment, the bill is amended. Testifiers on the bill as amended.
No, Mr. Chair. If Mr. Meyer is here at all, no.
Mr. Bogus, could you come up?
Mr. Bogus, is this?
What I'd like you to do, Mr. Bogus, just for... the heck of it, since we this one pretty quick, is give the chair at least a rundown of what is going on up there. Because boy, it's been really running around like electric shocking bolt of electricity around this building and this campus. So could you kind of give at least me an overview of what exactly is happening?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, Ed Bogus, Deputy Director of Fish and Wildlife for the DNR. The big issue right now is the change in the state bovine TB accreditation status. We had gone back in 2005 from TB3 status to modified accredited advanced status, and now the state just last week went to a modified accredited status, which means that throughout the state, producers are needing to tell cattle to move them out of state. There's a lot of monitoring requirements required. I think the committee has proposed the state status zone map The Board of Animal Health and Department of Agriculture are working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to try to get that modified accredited status down to this zone that they proposed, so that these additional testing requirements for cattle and movement restrictions to export out of that area and all that will only apply in that zone. But that's a federal rulemaking process that requires 6 months or so. Their target is to have this zone in effect by September, so that all the cattle producers in the state aren't having to be underneath more onerous testing requirements that went into effect last week. So that's why it's become such a huge issue kind of statewide within the last week or so, because the drop in state TB status just occurred last week. Since 2005, we've been working in this primarily, you know, the core area and the management area that are on this other map that the committee has were areas that were established based on a rough radius from where positive deer have been documented. Back in 2005, when the first TB positive cattle herd was documented, we found one positive deer. Since that time, we've confirmed 18, and we've stepped up we've been pretty aggressive, we think, but we've become more aggressive since the additional cattle herds were found in the last year that caused the state status to drop. It was finding additional positive cattle herds. There's certain criteria that if you find so many, I think it's 3 in a year, then the status goes down another level. And so they did find those additional herds this year, and that caused the state status to drop again. We knew this was coming for some time, so we stepped up the effort. We've been doing special hunts. We created a TB zone for the deer hunt, the regular deer hunting season up in this area, Permit Area 101, where we've had what we call disease management permits. They're unlimited. You can get as many as you like. They're available for the cost of issuance, $2.50. And we've also been employing sharpshooters the last 2 years up there. We contract with the USDA Wildlife Services. They do animal control for agriculture and other purposes, wild animal control. They're a sister agency to Veterinary Services, which manages the TB and in the livestock. So we've contracted with them for the last 2 years to do sharpshooting. This year we took a very unprecedented step for Minnesota, at least, of in addition to the sharpshooters, working with Wildlife Services to identify a contractor who could do aerial shooting. And we had a couple of contractors that they referred us to, one in Wyoming, one in Michigan. We employed one of those aerial sharpshooters, and for the last 2 weeks, we've been, in addition to the ground sharpshooting, we've been doing aerial sharpshooting in the core area. It's this area at the bottom of this map here, and it's where all the positive deer have been found. I don't have handouts of this map, but I can kind of just hold it up and show you that this looks kind of like a target to me when I look at it, and it's been a very targeted effort. We've had the core area is the red area. The management zone that you'll hear talked about is the black area. These bigger circles are the surveillance zone. That's where we test deer during the hunting season. These red and blue dots are deer taken by sharpshooting and aerial shooting. The red dots are aerial shooting. The blue dots are sharpshooting just this past year. It's hard to see, but the green dots are the TB suspects from the sharpshooting and aerial shooting. You can see, and then there's black squares here. All of the positive deer have been right in this area here. If there's anything encouraging in the whole effort, it's been that we haven't found a single positive deer anywhere outside this core area. So that's encouraging. The deer that we're finding now are all older animals that have been around since the TB was first discovered in 2005. As of the completion of the aerial shooting on this past Saturday, the aerial shooters had taken 416 deer. The sharpshooters have taken 398. They're still going to come back for the rest of April as the deer are kind of dispersing from their wintering concentrations and moving onto the fields. And then we also had a landowner shooting permit emergency rule that we put into effect as the word of this change in status was being announced. And we extended that. You also have this map. We extended that. Here's the core. Here's the management.
We extended it up here because some of the positive cattle herds have occurred up in this area. Like I said, we've never found a positive deer up there, but there was just so much concern with people who had cattle and were looking out in the pastures and seeing deer with their cattle that we said, we'll give you a permit to shoot deer. If you're a landowner or a tenant or someone who has written authorization from a landowner or tenant. So this large black boundary is the emergency rule area for landowner tenant shooting permits. That went into effect March 31st. It expires August 31st. It's been a little bit controversial. Some of the folks up there are concerned we're going overboard on this. And we are being very aggressive because we think we have a chance to stop this disease. Michigan is the only state that has TB endemic in wild deer. By the time they realized what they had, it was at a fairly high prevalence rate over a multi-county area. And it took a long time for them to figure out what to do about it because it was an unprecedented situation. It was about 15 years ago. There are a lot of differences between Minnesota and Michigan. They had a lot higher deer densities. Feeding and baiting of deer. Baiting of deer as a hunting technique is very popular in Michigan and legal with no restrictions. Minnesota has prohibited baiting as a hunting technique since 1991. We've prohibited feeding in roughly this area that the split state zone is since November of 2006. This is the current feeding ban zone that was done by emergency rule in 2006. I didn't have a copy of this, but it's very similar to the proposed split state zone, you can see. We did that when the bovine TB was first discovered. The legislature directed us. Senator Scully was the primary person that pushed for that feeding restriction. Said the commissioner has broad authority to restrict feeding for disease management purposes, but that was when the provision in law came in that said that you can see, I think in the original bill, that existing law says the commissioner shall restrict wildlife feeding within a 15-mile radius of a cattle herd infected with bovine tuberculosis. Now it's 2006 law that led to this current feeding ban. So Chairman Eakins, bill would essentially put into statute something very similar to what's been in rule in the last year and a half or so. So that's a quick overview, Mr. Chairman. Happy to answer questions.
So the cattle coming in, I know you're not with ag, but the cattle coming in are tested to make sure they're free. Cattle going out of the zone are tested to make sure they're free.
Mr. Chair, I'm not with ag, but my understanding is they'll set up in this modified accredited zone, split zone, once that's approved later this year. They'll set up controls on identification, testing, export permits, import permits
and then we have somebody here from ag.
But they'll essentially treat this like it's another state.
Tim Olin is shaking his head yes that they do that. Then I had another question about I see up there when you go up, it looks like you're Highway 12, what I call Highway 12, going up the lake there to the border, and then over towards Piney. That's right up against, that's really heavy deer country up there along the, you know, just north of the border in the Sandy Lands area there. And I'm wondering how that affects us in terms of the migration of the deer coming back and forth, and are we coordinating this at all with Manitoba?
Mr. Chair, we have been talking to Manitoba and North Dakota. Like I say, so far where we're finding the positive deer.
South of that.
Yeah, it's quite a ways south of that so far. But certainly if we started finding positives up along the border, we'd want to try to get Manitoba to cooperate in a...
There's a lot of deer up there because I hit them going to Winnipeg in my car.
There's a lot of deer in this whole, you know, area. So.
Then how do you eradicate the TB? I mean, you're out there shooting deer. You've shot nearly 1,000, and at least my count was 1,000. Mm-hmm. And what is that happens when there's one deer left with TB?
Mr. Chair, that's the million-dollar question. The strain of TB here, they can kind of fingerprint the DNA of the TB. TB is a bacterial disease. it's really not a human health issue, as long as, you know, with cooking of meat and pasteurization of milk and things like that. But the strain of the bacteria that's been identified in Minnesota is a strain they call Mexican strain. There are various strains of this bacteria. The strain in Michigan is a unique strain. It's called the Michigan strain. There's also a TB strain in elk in Rocky Mountain Park in Canada. That's a different strain yet. This strain is a type that's been found in cattle in the southwestern and western United States. Strongly implies that it originally was probably a spillover from cattle to deer. We don't know how much potential there is for the disease to spread among deer, but we do know that this disease is likely spread primarily by shared feed, saliva, nose-to-nose contact, things like that. And so the strategy here, besides trying to reduce the deer to the lowest density that we can in the positive area, is to try to separate deer from cattle feed and deer from cattle. And we've been doing a fencing program. That's something I forgot to mention the last couple of years, on a small scale with a couple of small appropriations that we got. Two $54,000 appropriations, one this biennium, one the previous biennium. Representative Olin's bill has $1 million or so. I don't know how much for fencing on a broader scale, and a proposed voluntary buyout of cattle. That's one of the other bills that's over here. I'm not sure which one's up today, but I'm sure he'd be happy to talk about that. But it's the idea is the to get the deer to quit feeding with cattle and to quit feeding like livestock and get away from this sharing of feed saliva that occurs on the feed and that could spread the bacteria. So we think there's a real chance, if we can keep the deer density very low so there's less interaction, if we can keep them from feeding on piles of feed like cattle, that the disease can be stopped. As I said, the animals that we're finding now, the eight or so suspects we've come up with in the last few months, have the ones that are definite clinical TB. We don't have positive lab results on any of those yet, but the ones that are, you know, pretty much certain based on the clinical science are all older animals that are 2.5 years or older and were alive back in 2005 and could have been part of an initial infection episode that occurred before we really realized what we were dealing with here. So it's somewhat encouraging that they're still in that small area and that we're not finding younger animals with TB.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bogus, there's many of us that are hearing from our constituents, obviously, that are really concerned about this and are grateful for the work you're doing. If we're not successful, or if you're not successful and TB persists, perhaps spreads, what are the additional tools that may be available to us? Are there any strategies outside of Minnesota that have been used that, you know, the skill will be in your arsenal? Or
Mr. Boggy?
Mr. Chair and Representative Moe, I think we've pretty much, if you compare what we're doing with anyone else that's ever tried to manage the disease in free-ranging cervids, I think we've gone farther than anyone else ever has already. I'm not saying there might not be something more that could be done, but you know, if it starts to spread and gets away from us, that's a bad deal. And I don't know. We're in that core zone right now. We're kind of scorching the earth, you know, efforts that we're doing for deer removal right now. The one concern and the controversial part that was just taken out of this bill is if there develop pockets of deer on private land that are inaccessible. And we don't have a way to get at those right now other than trying to save them off of the boundary. And we've been pretty successful doing that. But if it's large enough blocks of that could stymie these types of efforts.
Are you gonna follow up?
Just briefly, then. I guess I would assume that you'll be communicating with us if that becomes an issue. I think I know we have great respect for private property rights here, but I think at least up in the north central part of the state, I think that the most aggressive efforts possible are warranted, and the fear is very real amongst the kind of rank and file person up there.
Yeah, and to review, under your emergency rulemaking authority, would you have that ability to do something if you found the pockets you described on private land?
Mr. Chair, we don't feel right now that we do have the authority to go onto private land. There are, you know, there are certain authorities in the game and fish laws right now for enforcement to go on to any property to carry out the enforcement duties. And there's an open field doctrine for that that allows them to go into fields and things, but not, obviously they can't go into houses or things like that without a search warrant. But and the ag sector has the ability to quarantine and depopulate the private livestock. And deer are they do belong to the citizens of the state, not to the private landowner. And if there's a disease that's threatening that public resource, you know, we think it's something, we've not sought authority to go into private land without permission. We have a bad enough reputation, you know, about property rights as it is, but we are starting to come around to the idea that we could conceive a situation where to stop a disease from spreading, it could become necessary to have some extraordinary authorities to deal with the public resource on that private property. Okay. We don't have the authority through rule or anything else right now.
Okay. Representative Anthony,
thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for being late, but I wanted to follow up on Representative Moe's question. So the work that you're doing now is greater than, say, Wisconsin's, and their experience with chronic wasting disease and trying to depopulate. You're doing more than they've done and what they've done. And is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I would say yes, that's correct. At least in this small, I mean, we've confined the really aggressive removal to a very small, relatively small area. I mean, it's still hundreds of square miles, 100 and some square miles. I don't remember the exact amount, but it's yeah, it's more aggressive than what was happening.
And Mr. Boggs, there's no, as long as the deer is handled properly in terms of processing and cooking and what have you, smoking, baking and what have you, there's no threat to human consumption?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Obviously, if we get a clinically apparent positive animal, we don't salvage that for human consumption. But the other deer that have been taken in this effort, we've distributed to the extent that we could. We've had a waiting list of folks willing to take these deer, and so we've been distributing the deer. We kind of ran out of we fulfilled the waiting list in the last week or so, but prior to that we were able to salvage, and there was interest in them, and yeah, as long as they're handled properly and cooked to a temperature of 170 degrees or so, then so smoking without heat wouldn't necessarily be good, but as long as there's enough heat applied, it will kill the bacteria.
You want to pass that waiting list around here?
Representative
Mara? I just want to follow up, I think, on Representative Bill's question. Trying to assess the potential that you may need additional legislative authority between the end of this session and January 2009. Do you foresee the possibility that you may need the legislature to take additional action to authorize you to take steps that you're not currently authorized to take?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morrow, I think it's doubtful that we would identify that need in that time period, just because of the kind of the timing of when these deer are available to be removed is kind of coming to an end now until next winter. So we won't probably find more positive deer until next hunting season in November, and then we'll probably be looking at aerial and ground sharpshooting again in either December or January. So that's likely the time that we would become aware that there was a problem outside of where we currently know there's a problem, and so the legislature would be back by then, and if it was a big enough emergency, presumably we could get some quick action.
And Mr. Boggs, the reason that it's going to become less acute now over the summer and
is because they're not yarded up and trying to feed on piles because it's easy picking in the winter?
Correct, Mr. Chair. They, once the snow goes and green up occurs, they disperse and they have plenty of food. They're not concentrated. They're fawning and they're scattered.
So feeding on an agricultural, like a cornfield, a stubble cornfield, that isn't a problem. It's a pile where they're getting close, you know, close together.
Mr. Chair, that's the current understanding is that feeding on standing crops, there's some potential for, you know, animals to feed right after other animals, but it's a much more dispersed type of feeding than when they're all feed on a pile of food.
Okay, anyone in the audience want to testify for or against the bill? Doesn't appear that there is, so Representative Hackler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a few questions. In the amendment, we're talking about the modified accredited bovine tuberculosis zone proposed by the Board of Animal Health. Now, what is that zone? I see a number of maps that we have here, and I don't know, is that map one of these maps? Are we determining what that is? I don't see that listed on any of these maps, which one, what that actually is. Or is that to be determined?
Representative Olin, are you here to make a stab at that one?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Hackler, if I came forward. The split zone status map that's being called split zone status zone map is that area.
And Mr. Chairman, that's not going to change. That's what we're calling this.
Yes, and I'll tell you where this map comes around is it basically the map that the United States, that Dr. Hartman has proposed to the United States Department of Agriculture to split the state of Minnesota in order to get, we realize up in our, in this specific district, we're going to be modified accredited no matter what. But the goal is to get the rest of the state out of that zone. So that is the proposal, which would be roughly 325 herds if you were to go by the cattle numbers, which is why that map exists. The U.S. Department of Ag seems to be willing to go along with that, especially in light of this eradication and everything else with the cattle buyout and the rest of my other provision, plus what we've been doing, the DNR has been doing in the deer. In fact, that I think from what I gather from Dr. Hartman is they're rather impressed with what we're actually doing because we're doing far more than Michigan did at all. And 12 years later, Michigan's got nothing accomplished.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thank you. My concern is we're saying that the modified accredited bovine tuberculosis zone, but we're not really saying what that zone is, so I think we're saying that this could, we're allowing that to grow if we need it to grow.
So what are you saying, that we should put in the language, for example, the roads that define it?
Well, no, Mr. Chairman, I just thought at least if we had something that, you know, a map or something that we could refer to. I know this is a map, but this doesn't say that this is the modified accredited zone. I think we are leaving it open to let it grow.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, the specific bill that allows for the authority to make these zones is the bill that I'll have in the floor in about 2 hours or 3 hours, whenever. That bill limits the size zone. Dr. Hartman can make more than one zone, but it limits it to herds of 325. And the specific intent right now is that is the only zone. If you needed to do something different, you'd have to make a whole different zone.
I just want to get that on the record, Mr. Chairman. It's not that I don't want this to happen. I want to do the same thing you want to do, Representative Owen. I just have concern for other residents and other farmers as this thing might grow.
And I understand fully where you're coming from.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Representative Owen can answer the question or Representative Eakin. Maybe we need to bring Mr. Boggess back up. But I'm just wondering, maybe we do need to talk to Mr. Boggess. I'm wondering about the cooperation with the farmers and the residents as this thing has been progressing, and now that we're going to pass new language here that's going to make things a little more restrictive,
What has been the cooperation with the farmers and the residents, and do they know about this new language that's coming?
Mr. Boggy.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hackbarth, are you talking about cooperation on the feeding restriction that's currently in place? I would say the cooperation has been improving, but it started out, the compliance was not very good. Our Division of Enforcement's been very aggressively monitoring for feeding. It's pretty easy to spot feeding activity in the wintertime. There's a feed site, there's spokes of deer trails leading into that feeding site in the snow that are easy to spot from the air. And so they've been visiting people that appear to be feeding that may not have livestock or whatever, and the compliance right now is pretty good, but it took a while to get it there. The modified accredited zone that's been proposed is actually very similar. I apologize, I don't have copies of this map, but it's very similar to where the current feeding ban is. There's a few little differences around the edges, but it's this has been in effect since November 2006. So I would say most of the landowners are probably familiar with what these restrictions are. Just as you were asking the question, I was reading the Delete All Amendment again, and I guess there may be a little, I'm looking at line 1.22, maybe a little, I'm not sure if it's clear that the following restrictions on wildlife feeding are in the modified accredited zone. I think that was the intent, but item B talks about the commissioner shall restrict wildlife feeding in the modified accredited zone, and then add some penalties for violating those restrictions. Then it goes on to put some restrictions in effect, actually the statute. And I know this was a revision of what the bill originally, it's similar but a little different than what the bill originally was doing. So I'm reading it now, I'm wondering if it's clear for those restrictions, if we need something just saying that are in effect in the modified accredited zone, something like that.
Mr. Chairman, maybe Ms. Taylor can.
Taylor, do you got some ideas on how to address that problem?
Yeah, what could be done is on line 1.22 of the Delete All Amendment, after the word effect, insert within the modified accredited bovine tuberculosis zone.
I'd move that amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Hackbarth moves the oral amendment to the DE2 amendment, Delete All Amendment. Any questions on the oral amendment? Being none, in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion does prevail. Amendment is adopted. All right. Representative Hackbarth, further questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Boggess, the farmers are probably more cooperative than the other residents that are living in the area. I'm assuming that the farmers, you probably can enter their land and they've been cooperative. Is that what you're telling me? But maybe some of the other residents that maybe own some land and privately feeding deer back on their back 40 or whatever, they're the ones that might not be quite as cooperative, letting you come on their property to look at the situation, that sort of thing.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hackbarth, the biggest area where we've been seeking cooperation from private landowners has been on the deer removal operation with the sharpshooting and aerial shooting. We've only done that where we've had permission from the private landowners or else on public land. So,
have those been farmers? Or?
The ones that are the most cooperative there, I would say, are the farmers that are concerned about the bovine TB. This is an area where there's also a lot of people that own land for hunting purposes, right. And they've been, you know, feeding deer and protecting deer to have nice deer to hunt, and so it's understandable they've been very concerned about this. It's a very unfortunate situation, and we empathize with their situation, but even most of those have come around to be cooperative. A few have not allowed us to go on. As I said earlier, if it's an enforcement action, then our enforcement folks can go and investigate that, but for the removal, we need permission to go in for that, and We've got, in and near the core area, we've got about a half dozen landowners that have not given us permission. In looking over their property from the air, only one of those has significant numbers of deer right now, and those are going to be dispersing probably soon. But in most cases, we've been able, with the sharpshooters do use bait, even though it's not used as a hunting technique for disease management, they do use bait, and they've been pretty successful at baiting the deer over the property line to where we can get at them on property that we do have authorization to be on. So it hasn't been a huge impediment to this point, but that was where I said we can envision a point in the future where it could become an issue. If we had diseased animals in an area where we couldn't get at them.
Thank you, Mr. Boggs. And Mr. Chairman, I have one more question, maybe for you or maybe for Representative Eakin, or maybe Representative Owen. The Senate language on this issue, and where is that, and where is that traveling? And is it the language that's in House File 4164, or is it the modified new language?
Representative Eakin. Mr. Chair and Representative Hackbarth, the language has been modified from what Mr. Meyer originally brought to us in the Senate as well. It doesn't strike the language that I struck out in this bill, but it does modify it and tighten it up, so it's just for that zone. And it's also with the Board of Animal Health having to also give authority to this to take place for any entrance to access to private property. So I don't know the specifics of that bill, but I know that it was just modified and not stricken.
Okay, and I wish Mr. Commissioner Meyer was here, so maybe Mr. Boggess knows where that's traveling in the Senate. Is it in their game and fish bill, their policy bill? Is it in 1812 bill? Where is that language?
Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
Representative Hackbarth, I believe that it's in the Rules Committee at this point.
It's a separate standalone bill. It's not in the Game and Fish.
It's standalone.
Yes.
Okay,
it's
thank you, Mr. Chairman, because I had heard that it was in Chaudhry's policy bill.
Well, yesterday, Mr. Chair, we sat down and started looking at that comparison on those. And we haven't got to the end of that yet, but it hasn't come up. I haven't seen it yet. In his article, he has an omnibus policy bill.
Right.
There's a Game and Fish article. I haven't seen it in there.
Okay, good.
Representative Hackbarth, I believe there is something in the omnibus environment policy bill in the Senate dealing with the feeding restrictions, I believe.
The radius of the feeding zone.
But it's not in the Game and Fish article.
30 mile versus the 15 mile of all the...
So...
Mr. Chairman,
so I am a little concerned about that. What language is that they're talking about in the policy bill then? And where did that come from? Is that something that Chaudhry came up with on his own, or is that something that...
Mr. Chair, Representative Hackbarth, Senator Scully had worked with Senator Chaudhry's committee to expand the radius. Existing law talks about feeding within a 15, restricting feeding within a 15 mile radius, and in the Senate File 3385, it changes that to a 30 mile radius.
And that in Representative Hackbarth, that 30 mile is in our Game and Fish bill. The 30 mile radius is in our what we have passed through this committee and other committees.
All right.
So, any further questions? Very good question.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Hanson.
One quick question. Are we collaborating with Canada?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, we're certainly in communication with Manitoba and with North Dakota. We've had some joint meetings with them. Might have been before you got in the room. I did mention that so far the positive deer has been all well south of the Canadian border. But they're certainly aware of the issue. And one other thing I hadn't mentioned is we're also testing elk. Elk are susceptible to bovine TB. We have not found any bovine TB in elk. But you get over into Kitson County, just west of where we're talking about, we have elk, a fairly large herd of elk that kind of wander back and forth across the border. So we're testing all elk
from hunting seasons for the last 2 years. We've gotten 3 elk this year out of this, you know, near this core area, either through shooting permits or elk found dead. And so far, I don't remember the exact number, but out of the 12 or 15 elk that have been tested, none have been positive.
Any further questions? I have to tell you, Mr. Bogus, my wife called me last night. She found one of your moose. Yesterday morning, the moose was standing in the driveway. And when she came home last night from school, about 5 o'clock, the moose was laying against our Morton building sleeping. So it's getting a little domesticated, I think. And we never seen a moose there before, ever. But it's laying sleeping against our building, which is kind of away from the house. But. So anyway,
cool.
I asked her if it was a bull or a cow, and she said she didn't know how to tell the difference until it stood up. Good answer, right?
This time of year, they don't have antlers.
Right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you for coming in. We'll, Representative Bingham is not here. We'll renew the motion to move this bill, recommend it pass to the Environment Policy Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Meeting is adjourned.